Corey Branning said, "Thank you to heroes, discourage dissent." We practiced dissent then. We must practice dissent now. We must, as Dr. King taught us, move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high ground of a firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. As King said now, then, and is even more true now, a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. I want to close, as King closed his Vietnam speech, with an excerpt from James Russell Lowell's The Present Crisis. He wrote, "Once to every man and nation comes the nation moment to decide in the strife of truth and falsehood for the good or evil side. Some great cause, God's new Messiah, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever twixt that darkness and the light. Though the cause of equal prosper, yet 'tis truth alone is strong. Though her portion be the Stafford, and upon the throne be wrong, yet the scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. I wish us the right choice. Thank you."
Civil rights leader Julian Bonds speaking in May at the Vietnam Power of Protest Conference in Washington at the Martin Luther King Memorial. It was one of his last public speeches. Julian Bond died August 15th at the age of 75. At the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Julian Bond became the first African-American nominated for U.S. vice president by a major political party, but he had to withdraw his name because he was just 28 years old, 7 years too young to hold the second highest elected office. If you want to see our hour special, Remembering the Life and Legacy of Julian Bond, visit democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Irmin Shakes, and Malcolm Freddy.
All right. It is 8:01. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Positively Revolting.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Festicide, a three-day anti-festival taking place in venues all over Portland on August 21st through 23rd. Festicide celebrates Portland's DIY culture with an emphasis on punk, metal, and extreme music. There will be 9 shows across town over the three-day weekend with performances by Danova, Uncool Niece, Jenny Doe and the Spurs, Rabbits, The Woolen Men, VX Gas Attack, and many, many more. Again, that's Festicide, August 21st through 23rd at venues all over Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thanks a lot.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the African Hip Hop Caravan Benefit Show, August 29th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at Columbia International Cup in Portland. All ages are welcome to this benefit show featuring Mike Crenshaw and Rashid Jamal to raise funds and awareness for their November trip to various countries in Africa. Again, that's a benefit show for the African Hip Hop Caravan on Saturday, August 29th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at Columbia International Cup, 9022 North Newman Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Peace.
It's the HIP to the HOP, it's the movement. Hip Hop Caravan is the HIP to the HOP, it's the movement. Hip Hop Caravan.
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world you cast your vote.
Spinbreaker legs, and we came back you in the upper crutches. Hey there. Good morning. Good morning, Cascadia and the world.
This smoky Cascadia.
You know, you can kind of hear it there in my, it's hazy.
Apparently, you don't get rain, you get fires. And we just want to, this is Positive Revolting. First of all, let me just say that. But we, our theme song was Dan Burt No Bacon of Chumbawamba lets us use that as our theme song every week. And we really appreciate it. And our thoughts go out to Dan Burt because he got evacuated up in Twisp, Washington again. I think this is 2 years in a row. And our thoughts go out to him and to all the folks that are having that are losing their homes to fires,
which
and
seems to
including
be,
the woodland creatures,
which pretty much seems to be everyone outside of Portland, I think, at this point.
Yeah, we just get the smoke.
Yeah,
and
well,
not too badly yet, but if you've looked down the gorge, it's not good.
It's true. It reminds me of
Fire, the Great Purifier.
Reminds me of everything Guy McPherson said on this show
last month. I know.
Okay. Oh, goodness, it's the end times for sure. Okay.
In the meantime, though, while we're still here.
About being positively revolting. So this is one of our holiday shows, as it were.
And we kind of really miss the real holiday. But you know, like how you do Thanksgiving when everybody can be there sometimes? That's the kind of Lammas we're going to
have. Well, actually, traditionally, Lammas was celebrated between mid-July and mid-August. The actual date of the holiday itself is August 1st, but there was the harvest cycle, the feasting, the gathering of the folks, that kind of stuff was the month between mid-July and mid-August, at least in the British Isles area, which is really where most of the traditions I know were. That's the path I'm on, bypassing, say, the last, 1,500 years of Christianization.
Apart from that.
Here we are at Lammas, or just past it, as you say.
Yes.
Call it what you want. Loaf Mass was the Saxon word for it. It was actually Loaf Mass, but I'm not so good at my Saxon pronunciation. But that's as close as I'm going to get this morning. And thank you for the smoke. It did help get that first out there. This is the Feast of the First Harvest. The Saxons called this time of year Loaf Mass because, in fact, it is the time in the Northern Hemisphere, in Old Europe, when the grains ripen and are brought in, turned to flour, threshed, and it's celebrated with the baking of bread and feasting together with your family, with your clan, with your community. And I wanted to sort of elaborate on that and really look at the cycle of the year, because I think it's always good to see context and to really also see how this season, the influences of the season in the Northern Hemisphere, sort of can be seen, felt, and we could stand to meditate on them, think on them, ponder them well, as we go through our days. In European pagan myths, like I said, this is the first holiday of the harvest cycle of the year. There's basically three harvest holidays. Lammas or Lunasa. Then we get into Mabon, otherwise known as the fall equinox. And then it ends, the harvest cycle ends with Samhain, Halloween, or, October 31st, however you see that. And this is the time of year where the gods' power begins to wane. So this is the time, you'll recall, when last we spoke, right around the summer solstice, otherwise known as midsummer, that's when the god reaches his peak of power, born on winter solstice, growing for the first 6 months of the year, reaches the apex of power on winter solstice, and now diminishing. He's transferring the power that he's held into the grain and into the land, sacrificing himself so that the community, so that people may live. The meditation here is that life feeds on life. All life is sacred, and all life consumes life to, in fact, continue to live. When the god grows older, waning in energy, the goddess as mother harvests the seeds and nurtures the god that grows within her, awaiting the rebirth of the son, with whom God is strongly associated with. And again, that's winter solstice. But here, the god is diminishing. The gods, by whatever name you know them, fall comes. And, I did think for a minute about switching up the intro song today to the traditional English folk song, John Barleycorn Must Die, because that is, in fact, a Lammas song. And a lot of people know John Barleycorn Must Die because Traffic did a kick butt cover of it. Mm-hmm. But it's a way old song. It's a traditional folk song, and it's, in fact, a song that celebrates the Lammas and celebrates the sacrifice of the god into the grain. So that's this time of year. It's an excellent time to check in with yourself about what you've been working on, what seeds you've been sowing in your life for this first part of the year. How is that manifesting now? How is that harvest looking to you? What needs work to make that reaping, that harvest better? You've got, another couple coming right up. And then it's time for the visioning again. So the year has this cycle to it. And just to go over very quickly the rest of those contexts, at Maybon or fall equinox, we celebrate the balance. Projects started in the spring start to come to fruition. It's time at that point to give thanks for the harvest and prepare for more introspective times ahead, asking yourself what you need to survive in harder times and what your priorities are. So that's about, 6 weeks hence. Well, at this point, let's call it 4 weeks. The last turn of the year is the cycle is Samhain. And as I mentioned, it's Halloween. It's a time of deep dreaming. It's a time of communion with the dead, with those that are not incarnate, with the unseen world, because the veil that separates our dimension from that is the thinnest at that time of year. So it's a time of honoring those who have gone before and bringing them with us, their advice, their influence on our journey into the future, realizing that we ourselves are the ancestors someday. So seeing ourselves as part of that very long chain, we are all links together. The world then lies fallow, resting until the gods rebirth as the sun is reborn at the winter solstice. So that's, right around December 21st-ish. That turning point encompasses a very short span of time as energies grow and shift. Pagan holidays don't really work in a binary sort of on-off kind of way. The lesson that each season brings us, it's a cycle, it's continuous, it moves through the year. So we take the harvest now, we use the energy from this part of the cycle to do our visioning, to do our dreaming. Then in the first several holidays of the year, starting with the winter solstice, we start nurturing those visions in bulk, otherwise known as Candlemas, Brigid's Day, or Groundhog's Day. However you want to see February 2nd, Festival of the First Milk. That is the time of nurturing those seeds, really nourishing your hopes, your dreams, what you intend to bring into your community and your life. And on we go through the rest of the years, leading us back eventually to here, to Lammas. It's a continuous cycle.
Like clockwork.
The pagan path isn't so linear. It's a cycle ever renewing, never ending. So there it is. I'll stop there.
Alrighty then.
What do you have to say, Lynn?
Well, I'll just give us sort of a general overview of what's going on today. Because it's funny, it's kind of a complexity and responsibility are blended in a conundrum. It's one of those kind of days today because we've got Scorpio Moon. And that kind of reflects our need to sort of step into the illogical realms of passion. But we've also got a very serious Sun-Saturn square, which makes us, which sort of heightens resistance and demands that we just slow down. And it's a good time, though, to stop and sort of review your progress and regroup about things. And however, there's obstacles that appear in front of us as Pluto sort of triggers some existential fears. So it's one of those kind of days. As usual, success is always possible with a combination of courage and hard work. Nothing new there. So that's sort of what's going on today. The other thing I'd like to say to folks is, if you've had a reading in like the last 6 months or so, could you just sort of sit on your hands and let other people do it? Because this is a popular show and a lot of people don't get in that would like to get in. So I would love people to have to courteously let other folks
just wait
in.
Wait this one out, yeah, I think is what she's saying. It's always good to share. Because sharing is caring. Yeah, I have just the most irreverent attitude this morning. I don't know. I woke up this way. There's not much I can do about it. So there we have it. But yeah, I just wanted to emphasize that that self-sacrifice is one of the lessons of this time of year. And just as John Barleycorn goes into the grain, is threshed, is killed so that bread can be made.
It's
and
transformation, I say.
It is. Because really, in the pagan world, nothing really dies. We all just transform. But that kind of sacrifice is a good thing to consider. How can you transform energies in your life? What can you give up for the greater good of all? Basically, that is one of the meditations I think that is very powerful at this time of year. And that's really sort of the energy of the fall, is the sacrificing and the readying for the harder times ahead. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. That's during a time of plenty.
Sure.
Asking for sacrifice. I like it during a time of plenty more than a time of not plenty.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to sacrifice during a time of not plenty. No. Pagans, they thought ahead. All right. So let's go ahead. I think we already have a caller. Fancy that. Let us go ahead and talk to Sheila. Good morning, Sheila. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you.
Absolutely.
How are you today?
Irreverent, apparently.
but
that's okay. How are you, Sheila?
Oh, I think I'm waking up.
That's also good. And so you're calling probably for a bite-sized reading.
Right.
Okay.
What's your birthday stuff?
March 9th.
Mm-hmm.
You want the year?
Oh, yeah.
She wants everything.
I want the year and the place and the time, if you've got it.
Well, I think it was March 9th, 1932 in Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was about 6:30 in the morning.
Okay. We'll go with that.
And so while Lynn calculates your chart, I will go ahead and throw cards. So this is the awkward part of the show where I really need to figure out some little
We've
theme
get some music.
Some
yeah.
little for the, you know, few seconds of,
Well, right. Are there particular questions that you have?
No, not really. I wanted to see what you could see.
Good enough.
Sort of what do I need to know for now kind of question?
Right, that's right.
The big overview. All right, so what I have coming up for you is a few things that you have been a little bit estranged from your emotions, which is an unusual place for you. It seems like there's been some issues around cooperation within your community, those that are generally there, that there may have been a little disruption in the field, but that's getting back on track. It's important to make sure that you allow happiness to flow into your life. Sometimes we get into or out of the habit of happiness, where we just sort of hold ourselves as, what do I want to say, not hold ourselves apart from it, but we get out of the habit of accepting happiness. It's sort of in that way that sometimes we have phases where we get into this, you know, good enough, you know, thing, as opposed to that truly connected, vibrant rush of emotion that is joy. So trying to clear out what is in your way of really allowing yourself to feel that. That cooperation issue, it's an interdependency that is probably helpful at this time for helping to move that block. And if there's changes that you've been trying to resist, it's really time to stop resisting them. You get the card of the trickster, and the trickster tends to show up when there's something that is really requiring our attention and change, and we want to look over there instead, because, you know, changing is hard, and the trickster has a way of if we don't take control of that ourselves, the trickster has a way of controlling it for us, i.e., circumstances suddenly end up a bit wonky, and those changes come to bear anyway. So that's what I have. Is really it's the One of Cups, it's the Six of Pentacles, and it's
Sheila,
the Trickster.
Can you turn your radio down just a little bit?
Oh, I thought it was loud enough.
Okay, yeah, we can kind of still hear it. Thank you. Sorry, Annie.
Okay.
All right. So that's what I have card wise. It's like I said, the One of Cups, the Six of Pentacles, and the Trickster. I have a fairly non-traditional deck, and the major arcana includes the Trickster card, which again is indicative of one resisting necessary changes and how the unexpected comes into play to sort of help you on your way to get the changes going anyway.
Okay.
Okie dokie. So, I spy with my little eye. Right, you've got a lot. Do you have quite a grand trine in water? Let me see. On the outskirts a little bit. Anyway, you are part of a generation that had Pluto in Cancer, which makes found the sort of issues, survival issues, are like always up front. And it's hard to just feel secure in your material world.
True.
And right now, you're going to have Pluto opposing Pluto in your chart, which is going to be, so Pluto through the second house, which is about money and how we get it, opposing your natal Pluto in Cancer. It's going to be coming up in the next few years, so it's going to be you're going to be tested about that, which seems incredibly unfair, I know, but that's how that's what I see happening. So just be aware of it, and know that you know, I mean, hopefully you've done some planning about that sort of thing. You know, you're a Pisces. We tend to land on our feet sometimes. It's hard. You also have Pisces and Mars in Pisces, which is about energy, which can sort of make it hard for you to just sort of get out on a material plane to do things. But inside, you know what's going on. Is that making sense at all?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. But that's sort of one of the biggest things. You have the fourth and the fifth house are just filled with planets for you. So things about creativity around your home are really important to you. Mm-hmm. And something that you've spent a lot of time on. And I understand that myself. I see with a Sag ascendant, which is like getting settling into your material, settling into your body could sometimes be hard for you too, but it's just a very good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Always a good thing to do. And so you have north node. Nodes are the these angles of the moon that tell things about different lives. And so always things in a spiritual sense, and I don't mean that in a religious sense, but in spirituality, which is like kind of knowing, as I was saying, what goes on inside you, that is the way for you. But you can be really nervous when you have a Virgo South node about what can happen. And 'cause I see also this line between, yeah, you've got Neptune way up there on the top of the house too. So creativity is your way. Well, you know, I can say this a lot, that creativity is your way out, but that is your way out if you can keep it kind of grounded.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense?
Yeah, well, that's what's getting in my way right now, is not getting to the creativity.
Well, just start doing it.
I know that seems kind of like so trite. It's, you know, how on earth could we even seriously say that? But the thing about creative flow is when it gets stopped up, if you kind of make yourself do the motion of it, you know, if you are somebody who is into the visual arts, just start doodling, or grab your favorite medium and do something different with it. Don't have a finished idea in mind. You just put yourself in the process.
Well, and also so you've got all this Virgo perfectionism that's trying to stop you at the moment, but just don't think about how perfect something has to be. Just start doing it because you need to.
Because it's the process.
Yeah, and you just need to do it. It's really important for you to do that.
Just do it.
Just do it. I don't want to sound Nike.
Yeah, you don't have to feel inspired.
No.
A lot of times that block is like, well, I'm just not inspired and it's not going to be good enough.
But the muse can't find you if you don't start doing something. And a lot of times doing it the same time every day gives you the muse a place to find you.
Mm-hmm.
The same time, the same place. That's what I hear mm-hmm. from folks.
Well, I have to try that.
Well, why not? What the heck? Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you, Annie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And so the time is 28 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting, the Annika Feminist, Echo Feminist show. We look at revolution. We look at social change work in a deep way. And, I don't know, a few times a year, we ground that in some earth-based spirituality. But also, for those not particularly spiritually inclined, it's okay. It's the cycle of the year. It's what you see around you. You don't have to ascribe it to any kind of deity or supernatural stuff. But the fall is here, right? And I know we're
still... It doesn't seem like it, I know.
It's cold in the morning. Are you kidding me?
It was 62 this morning.
Like
we're
finally
out of triple digits for a minute, yeah.
We're not in triple digits for a long time. Days now. Days, I've said. Lynn and I have different temperature preference. Okay, my temperature preferences are possibly different than anyone else in this area, but still, that's okay. Fall is coming. You can really sort of see it and start to feel it right around now. You notice the days are getting significantly shorter. In not too long at all, the Swifts will do their spirally sky show thing. And go find your Swifts. Go find your local Swifts, wherever they may be. There's a couple populations now in Portland. And these are the harbingers of fall. It is on its way. This is a time of change and transformation. So with that, we also encourage you to follow us on Facebook. You can like our page on Facebook, facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can also be with us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. Now with 200 plus followers. Woohoo. I'm so excited about that. These arbitrary numbers excite me sometimes. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And good morning, Francesca. You're on the air.
Good morning. Do you guys have a huge line of callers lined up?
Well, we're with you now.
Well, because I was going to get a reading, and I kind of just...
You can have a comment or a reading or a whatever you want.
You don't have
okay.
to.
Okay.
Or you don't have to.
Okay, sure.
We're not trying to force you. What's going on?
No, because I, as part of my pledge, I'm going to get a reading from you soon, but I'm in kind
what
of crisis
yeah, what
now.
Oh.
I will wait. But can you just send good thoughts, and we'll be in touch, and thank you for doing this. I'll let someone else have my spot.
Okay, can you do me a favor, Francesca? Can you email me and Lynn? I suppose that's Lynn and I, at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com, so we can actually get you scheduled. We want to do that very much.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And we can try to make it as soon as we can try to make it. So,
okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care, dear, and send in good thoughts. Positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. You get way more than a bite-sized reading.
That's right.
And with that, 503-231-8187. Good morning, Barbara. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Really good. I'm so glad you guys are on the air because I've been thinking of you guys lately because I've had a few body crashes. And then what you said about Pluto and the trickster and what's going on astrologically, it makes sense now what's been happening. So I'm glad I've...
So you're done. Okay, well, thanks, Barbara. No, just kidding. What are your particulars, Barbara? Sorry.
Okay. Well, I was born June 3rd, 1950 in Portland, Oregon, I think around 6:45, 7 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
Excellent.
We'll give you 7 just to round it off.
Lynn will start her calculations while I attempt to get through the particulate matter hanging in the air.
I know. We have got to get a little... Well, so you have questions about body things, right? So this is the time for us to ask people what their questions are, I think, if they've got them.
Because
then we can start looking.
It's been kind of scary because I had a nasty fall walking down the sidewalk, crashed... in the cement and almost broke my elbow, and it was pretty nasty, and fortunately I didn't break my elbow.
Good.
But then a week later I tripped up on the Max. I forgot they have little steps when you sit down, and crashed into the window. And then that same day I was on the Max again going back home, and the Max driver decided to just punch the brakes after he stopped.
Ooh, so are you AM and AM or PM? I forgot. I'm sorry. It's early.
AM.
AM, thank you. Never mind.
AM.
Okay.
And plus, I'm going through another transition as far as colonial. I've been a super duper volunteer activist, but I've been yearning to finish my degree, and I'm thinking it's so expensive. Should I do that? I really want to, but it's so expensive. I feel kind of uncertain about that.
All right.
Or guilty about leaving my activism.
Right. Okay. Well, here I've got your cards out. And you get, for those following along on their own decks, Mother of Pentacles, Four of Pentacles, and the ever popular Seven of Blades. So, what this holds is the Mother of Pentacles is really the lessons of taking care of it really is sort of a body centered card. It's nourishing yourself, it's caring for yourself, it's the planting of the seed, if you will. It's nourishing that which you want to bring into being. So especially, if you're having... I'll wait for my overall interpretation until after I lay out all three cards. Okay, fine. I always get ahead of myself a little bit. The Four of Pentacles is all about the home and hearth. It's all about your family. It's about cooperation and interdependence in a way that is, again, it's nurturing. Those two cards together are just very strong They reinforce the message of taking care of yourself and taking care of your immediate loved ones, and allowing them to take care of you. There's reciprocity. It's not, this is not the sacrifice I was talking about earlier. This is being in a sort of reciprocal, nurturing, nourishing environment. And then the Seven of Blades is really about focused thought. It's about mental acuity that comes from stillness. And so this actually would seem like an excellent time to turn your attentions towards something in the intellectual pursuits. Oftentimes we sort of put ourselves, I think it's usually it's a fine thing that we sort of, those of us who are social justice activists, look at what we can do for the community more than what we can do for ourselves. But it's also important to remember in that balance, if we don't take care of ourselves well, we have less to give to our community. And so looking at you furthering your own education and you know, taking time to do that is not necessarily a bad thing. You can use that gained knowledge to perhaps, again, feed back into the community when you have it. But first you have to gain it. And nurturing yourself, taking care of yourself, nurturing projects is a very worthwhile endeavor, especially right now for you. That's totally up. Yeah, and taking care of your body. I had a spate like that in last winter. I had like several accidents in a row, culminating with my broken nose and concussion, which was just this fantastic fall in the shower. How quintessential can you get? The shower attacked me. You know, but it... My grand would always say these things happen in threes, you know. So I don't know if you've had your third accident yet.
hopefully
you have, right? To me, when those things start happening, it's a sign to slow the heck down and really think about what it is we're needing, because oftentimes we're accident prone because our attention is elsewhere, because something is going unanswered inside ourselves. So that's what I have for you.
Well, thank you so much. That makes sense, and well, of course it's encouraging too.
Well, and also I don't want to bring up age, but, you know, there's a lot of free schooling for folks getting to be our age, you know.
I mean, yeah, actually,
and I so do check that out. So you got Gemini in the fifth house, writing, all this stuff is important to you. It looks like from what you have in the 11th house, which is groups, you've got Chiron there, the groups nourish you. You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. You could still do some activist things and go to school. You could.
I went to school and majored in student organizing.
What?
And getting completes in most of my classes.
What do you want to go to school about?
Well, actually, I did take a writing class this summer at PSU and loved it.
You're a natch, baby. You're a natch.
Yeah. I'd like to continue that. Yeah.
Yeah. Write about activism. I mean, there are a million, you don't have to do one or the other. And you're a Gemini, so how could you do one or the other?
I know. That's my problem, is I stretch myself out in so many directions that that's how I, you know, end up not paying attention and getting hurt. So I'm trying to learn to slow down.
Yes, ground, weed hopper, ground. And you have, you know, your little Capricorn moon can do that, and you've got Pluto's about to hit your moon, so you're going to have some revelation as far as what your emotional life is. It's going to seem kind of turbulent, but grounding is the best way to sort of pay attention. Pay attention to, you know, where you are at the moment. And I know that's like the most impossible thing to say to a Gemini. I know. But I'm just going to say it anyway, because what the heck. You natally have Pluto through the seventh house, so relationships have been, I would think, pretty groundbreaking. It's a word I want to say, or they're just very intense, let me just say. And they can, they're, you know, can be something you end up in therapy about afterwards. Venus is, you have, right now, you have Venus trine Pluto. Now, or Venus conjunct Pluto. And I remember a fellow astrologer saying to me, that must be fun. And I was like, I even had it trine, which is, should be easier. Now, it's an interesting time to start a relationship. It would be, or to deepen one that you are in now. In fact, you can't help but do that.
Huh, interesting. Okay, because I'm in a relationship for 2 years, and sometimes it gets in the way of my activism, and then I think, well, that's a crazy way of thinking, you know. But because I was single for so long, it's hard to slow down and take care of a relationship, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, that gets back to that Four of Pentacles. It's when one has good, healthy relationships, when one has good, healthy family, and when I say family, I almost never think of the biological family. I think of community. I think of our chosen families. And that's a basis that supports, that creates strength for all involved. So you can go farther and do more from a place of strong relationships, from home and hearth that is well nurtured, and that things, again, are in balance with the giving and receiving of that nurturance.
Well, and with Chiron in the 11th house in Sag for you, that's where you sort of nurture better in groups. And it's not that you can't have a personal relationship, I'm not saying that, but you tend to nurture better in groups. And this, your relationship right now, because of that Pluto sort of sitting, well, Venus and Pluto working down, because Venus softens a lot of aspects, and Pluto is such a heavy duty planet, even though, of course, you know, it's way out there, and Neil deGrasse Tyson says it's not a planet, but I'm not going to get into that. It's still that's what you're going to be looking at a lot, and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater with this.
I love the groups of people that I've been involved with. They're awesome people, and it's
a little lighter weight, which sometimes Geminis like that.
Yeah.
And you like to keep moving, so.
That's true.
And nothing wrong with that.
Before we let you go, I want to say a caller called and left a message with our engineering pixies that if you're falling a lot and seeming to have some balance issues, you might want to actually have an inner ear issue checked out, because sometimes that is the cause of sudden spates of falling. For myself, I know inattentiveness and busyness tends to be the cause of my accident proneness, but
all groups are helping. What can we say?
But I would be remiss if I did not pass along this caller saying that it could be an inner ear issue that you may want to have checked out. See if that feels right to you,
and pay attention.
Sure. Yes, I'm trying to, as I'm walking, I say, feet up, pay attention. You
know, oh, yes. Yeah, feet up, look where you're going. Yeah, these sorts of things, it's my constant mantra. Okay, thank you so much, Barbara.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, take care.
Best of luck.
Yes, oh my goodness, look at the time. It flies.
Wow.
It's about quarter of. I do believe we have Todd on the line. Let's go ahead and talk to Todd. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, how are you?
I am. I'm doing well. How are you doing this morning?
Good. As a true Gemini form, I am also a Gemini, so we'll come in twos at you this morning.
That is true Gemini form. That's awesome.
What are your particulars, Todd?
Yeah. So remind me again what. I've been on hold for a little while.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
Birth date?
Memory.
Birth date?
Okay. 05-31-74.
And time?
You know, time's always a tricky one. I always joke that I'm married to an older woman by 6 hours. So I'm PM, and I think it's somewhere between 6 and 7 PM.
Okay.
But I'm also married to a Gemini.
All four of you. That's polyamory right there. You've got your own polyamory going on. Okay. So let's say 6:30, just to round it up. So 6:30, was that AM or PM? I'm terribly sorry.
That would be PM.
PM, okay, very
and
good.
And where?
Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
We've had two folks from Portland in a row this morning.
Yeah.
I say there's a movement. Okay. And that's, right about now. Oh, look, I'm away from my mic. I should never look away from my mic and try to talk at the same time.
It's so strange being on the phone because, like, with my radio, I can just turn it up. But with my phone, it only goes so loud. And I'm like, where are they?
Oh, no. I'll yell now into the... thereby blowing away the engineering pixies in the next room. Oh, she's growing extra arms. All right. Well, what I have for you, interesting. The cards are the Crone of Blades, the Five of Flames, and the Witch, which is in this deck the takes the place of the Magician, if you will. So, it's pretty awesome. So the Crone of Blades talks about cutting out the extraneous, bringing your analysis into your life to look at what is not useful to you or others, and making sure it's not in the way. It's also occasionally shining a pretty strong light on something that's not adding up, that's not making sense, that can be used to illuminate a situation or a person who may or may not love that at the moment. But it's speaking your truth. It's speaking truth to power. It's sort of that silver-tongued glib that sometimes Geminis are so very good at, letting that out and knowing that it's important that you're doing so. The Five of Flames talks about needing to find a creative outlet for rage.
Yeah.
And it is, I have serious issue with people that are like, well, anger is a negative emotion. We should just not, if you're angry, you're just not enlightened enough. You just need to shift perspective. No, in fact.
Or you're not paying attention.
If you're not angry, you're not paying attention, or you're in denial, and I find that frightening. No, anger is very valid. It is, in fact, our sense of there is something very, very wrong, right? Yeah, and sure. It can be from the political and global down into our own self-analysis. I mean, anger is there for a reason, and it's a sign that one must pay attention to something. And when we all get angry, we all have anger, but finding a way to express it that will be a creative force and not a destructive force is really what's called for. And of course, they're two sides of the same coin. You can't actually create unless you destroy. You have a perfectly blank canvas. You add paint to it. You've destroyed the canvas, but you're creating art, right?
Yeah. Or Burning Man, which is going on right now, where they create first and then they burn it all to the ground.
Exactly. Exactly like that. And the card actually has the symbolism of a volcano, And again, the fertile Cascadian valleys are fertile because of the volcanic action in this area, right? That's provided the nutrients. So that channeling your anger is a good and important thing to do, finding a good way to creatively express it. Some people write, some people like to work with clay because it's very tactile and you have to pound the living heck out of it for quite a while before you can start working with it. So you have something
to... something I found has been really interesting.
What is
needle felting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That is
like stabbing stuff into form.
Yeah, I could see how that works. Totally. I was like, well, needle work isn't real. Oh yeah, no felting. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
for sure. Some people like to start drumming or dancing, moving, you know, running. That kind of stuff too works for some people. But yeah. Find the thing that works for you, and yeah, stab that felt.
Die. Die into creation.
That's right. Transform, felt, transform. And then ending with the card of the witch. It's as you're moving through the cycle, holding all things in balance, you're really at a time of very high personal power. If you try to stem or stop the anger flow, you get out of balance pretty fast. So don't do that. And balance here really talks about making sure that your emotional self, your heart-centered self, your mind, your body, your spirit are all being tended to, and you're not really giving any one of them free rein, that they're all working together to create the whole most powerful you.
Cool.
So I can see why anger would be a problem. You have Mars in Pisces, so it's like a little confusing about how to deal with it. There's a lot of confusion about that, maybe not. And that sort of squares your sun sign, so it's an issue. And felting is one thing. It also looks, because you've got Chiron in the ninth house, and right now Uranus in Aries, and Uranus is going through there, so there could be some surprise trips. Usually ninth house is about international travel. But that would be a very healing thing for you to do right now. You also have Venus there in the ninth house with Chiron, so it's sort of, they're not exactly conjunct, but they're both sitting both in the ninth house. So that's like, I don't know if you've done much, but it seems like a very healing thing for you to do.
Yeah. Oh, well, travel. Who doesn't love it?
Some people don't.
Some people don't.
Some people really don't love it. I know.
Oh,
it's
what?
Kind of. I know. What can I say? Right now, so... Pluto is kind of, Pluto is going past your parts of fortune, which is also in Capricorn right now, and your natal parts of fortune is in Capricorn through the fifth house, though there's some big creative thing that's coming up for you, and that's something that should ground you. Your creativity is a good grounding thing, and as we have already spoken about with Geminis, yeah. Grounding is very important for you. You have some big things to do, I think. I mean, your sun is up there in the 10th house, which usually means that it's kind of the house of the performer, or where it's what people see of you. And it usually has to do with career things, and those could be very important to you. Do you have any other? Do you have some question about?
No, I think I'm just going to kind of lay it out and take in what is out there from you guys.
Okay,
and thank you so much.
Well, wait, one more thing.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's well, your moon is sitting right on the sort of base of your chart, right between the midheaven and the sort of grounding thing. So, and it's in Virgo. So you be careful. Your emotions can kind of drive you crazy and really get to your nervous system. So, your midheaven, the part that spews out of that is Taurus, which is, think of Taurus like, remember the bull that was under the
Ferdinand.
Think of things.
Not too great with mythology.
Oh, no, this is a children's book.
This is a children's book.
Ferdinand the Bull is a very sweet bull, kind of inclined towards poetry, sits around under a tree with a rose in his
little
in his
posy
mouth.
In his mouth. Okay. That's kind of things like that need to are the sort of images you need to get through some of this confusing time. But you've got stuff to do, kid.
Okay. All right.
Thanks
I'm
for your
drop off and go do it then.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye bye.
You too. Ah, look at the time. We are just about out of it.
I don't think we've got time for another one.
Let's
talk about what's coming up on
KBOO. Absolutely.
At 9, it's Veterans Voice with Marvin and Angie. The topic is Houseless Veterans in the Northwest with guest Dawa Goes Behind. At 10 o'clock, it's Chris Andre, who hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Flashpoints features more on parliamentary elections in Haiti. We hear an interview with Myanmar with one of its foremost human rights heroes, and we get an update on the situation in Venezuela. At 11 on the Radio Zine, host Jennifer Kemp speaks with journalist Lou Urenick about his book, The Great Fire, one of America's mission to rescue victims of the 20th century's first genocide, and just the first genocide of the 21st century. And at 11:30 from the archives, we hear Follow the Garbage, a look at what happens to the stuff we throw out, produced by Lisa Loving and a crew of news volunteers. And we want to thank KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a member today, no problem. You can become one by going to KBOO.fm and clicking on Donate Today. It's easy, it's peasy, it's fun.
And Teresa has been messaging me like the...
Furiously, hasn't she?
Like the mad woman she is. And, that communicating Gemini. She's been asking me to do a layout for Cascadia, for the region. Just a little broad, shall we say. But, you know... Here's what I got. The general vibe for the area is one of, it's the Four of Pentacles again. It's nurturing each other, trying to stabilize home and hearth. Of course, this is a time of intense wildfires right now. And the second card I have in this deck, it's called Oppression. And it's the card that is, the images on the card is the burning times with burning buildings all the heck over the place. This is a card that symbolizes false ideas, oppressive ideas, other people putting you down. So there you have it for the region. And ultimately, a celebration, a fulfillment of kindredship, community, clan, family, in that chosen way, and a deeper spiritual understanding. So that's what I got. We're weathering through some very difficult times, both on the metaphorical level, on the political level, and certainly on the physical level right now. But we have the base of support to get through it. And that's because we support each other, take care of each other and ourselves. And as we get through this rather difficult time, I say with that understatement, we look forward to moving into a deeper understanding of the spiritual nature of the world and celebrating with each other. That's what I have for the entire bioregion. Thank you very much, Teresa Mitchell, for challenging me this morning before I've even finished my coffee.
All right. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Kristen, our engineer. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And we will be back next week, positively revolting as ever.
Cheers.
There were three men came out of the West. Their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn. Thank you.
Hi, this is John Shuck, host of Religion for Life. This week, my guest comes all the way from London, England. He is Don Cupid. He's been called the most radical theologian in the world. He has written over 50 books. He talks to me about his latest one called Creative Faith, Religion as a Way of World Making. Find weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/religionforlife.
Looking for a career? KBOO is proud to be a co-sponsor of Oregon's 15th Annual Diversity Employment Day Career Fair. The fair will be held Wednesday, August 26th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Ambridge Events Center, located at 1333 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. Participants may interview with over 50